Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I can't really remember. And I think that's because I think it was just really upsetting. He really missed you and he didn't understand what was happening. Sometimes he'd seem completely fine, distracted, and then other times it's sort of, he'd remember that you weren't around and get very upset. He was just really confused. He was really confused, and I felt I couldn't really help him.
This is A Bit of a Stretch, the podcast. I'm Chris Atkins, and I'm a filmmaker who was jailed for tax fraud in 2016. I got sentenced to 5 years, served 2.5, and I've written a book about my time in Wandsworth Prison, also called A Bit of a Stretch. In jail, I met loads of fascinating characters, and since I got out, I've recorded over 20 conversations with ex-prisoners. I've been using their stories to shine a light onto Britain's crumbling prison system. Each episode is centred on a different theme, and this one is all about the impact that prison has on children. This is something very personal to me, as my own son Kit was nearly 4 when I went away. So, in this episode, I'll mostly be talking to Kit's mother, Lottie Mogarg. We had separated a couple of years beforehand, but remained good friends and had shared the parenting equally. When I was convicted, I had a week before I was sentenced, so we moved Kit to Lottie's place full time. On the morning of my sentencing, we had breakfast and played together. I then hugged Kit goodbye and left for Southwark Crown Court.
All our attentions have been on you and the case. Now, from this moment on, Kit had to be the focus. Yeah. I think I was waiting for a text and just lying on the sofa with Wimbledon on in the background and Kit reading a book and strangely peaceful. Got this text and I was shocked just seeing it in words. So it's a long time, five years. Even if you're doing half. And then looking at Kit, who wasn't even 4 then, and thinking, my God.
6.5 when he gets out.
Yeah. Just thinking, right, our job now is to get you through this with as least damage possible.
Up until that point, Kit had been a central part of my life, and the brutal separation only added to the trauma of imprisonment. Neither Lottie or I had any previous experience of prisons, so we weren't even sure if it was a good idea for Kit to visit me inside. So, for my first visit, Lottie came in on her own, to scope out HMP Wandsworth and judge if it was appropriate for Kit to come in.
And then you came in for the induction visit. What was that like?
Extremely nerve-wracking. I mean, the kind of nerves where you just want to go to the loo. You've got absolutely no idea what will happen. Something about going into this grim, secret place which you heard lots of about, but you don't know anything about. And there's a real atmosphere of zero tolerance, even at tissue or whatever, or you don't have exactly the right money for the locker. There's nothing spelling this out at all. There's no information you can find online. Like, you have to really work to find out what to do. You have to go through metal detectors and a search and then wait in this other sort of antechamber surrounded by posters warning against taking in spice and, you know, pictures of young men in comas with their families weeping over them. And
when you did that for the first time, were you thinking, I'm going to have to bring Kit through all this?
I was scoping it. There were lots of children, and I thought actually the things which I found awful about it, he probably wouldn't notice. Mm. That first visit, you were so adrenalised still. We were just on different wavelengths.
Completely different wavelengths, yeah.
Because, again, it's all new and the grinding day-to-dayness of it hasn't yet...
Hasn't even started.
We both agreed that Kit should visit as soon as possible. But Wandsworth insisted on checking Kit's criminal record before he was allowed in. So I had to wait 5 agonising weeks to see him.
Those first few weeks, then I've just vanished off the face of the earth. How was it with Kit?
It was Kit's birthday very shortly afterwards. So I remember focusing on making cakes for him. He really missed you and he didn't understand what was happening. You know, we told him you'd gone away on a timeout.
Yeah.
And, you'd gone to the building. We didn't use the word prison because of the associations with bad people.
Mm.
Like, you know, sometimes he'd seem completely fine, distracted, and then other times he'd remember that you weren't around and get very upset. He was just really confused. He was really confused and I felt I couldn't really help him. Yeah, it wasn't great.
It obviously changed your life in a sense, because you went from being someone who had a child half the week to having a child the whole week.
It was, but also I had lots of help. My mum lived opposite.
Lottie's mum, Deborah Mogok, played a huge role in helping Lottie, Kit and myself. You might have heard of Debbie. She wrote the book of the best exotic Marigold Hotel and many other successful novels. She would regularly bring in Kit to visit me, which for her brought back memories of visiting her own mother in prison 30 years earlier.
I mean, my own mother went to prison for 9 months for helping an old lady die.
Charlotte Hoff, Kit's great-grandmother, had assisted the suicide of a friend in 1985. She was convicted of attempted murder at the Old Bailey and was incarcerated in Holloway Prison.
My mother was frightfully posh. She was old for a prisoner. She was 60.
So she was a real fish out of water?
Totally. She was bullied hugely. She put quite a brave face on it and she wrote very funny letters about it. Visiting was traumatic because she seemed shrunk, older, vulnerable. We were allowed in chocolates. It wasn't like with you. You could bring in... You could take things in. And because my mother's a bit of a boozer, me and my sisters would buy liqueur chocolates, really good ones, so they had a lot of liqueur in them.
Mm.
And we'd give them those. So she'd work her way through, you know, Tio Pepe. You know, you bite a bit and then you tip it up and you have a little drink.
God, I wish I'd had that.
I know, you would have loved that. I think it is like bereavement, and particularly because of your son.
Mm.
Because, you know, a three-year-old, A, doesn't know what's happening, so you can't really explain, for better or for worse. In a way, it's quite good that they don't know what's happening, because they can't be bullied or teased at school, because none of their school children have a clue about prison either. But he was a vulnerable child, and you were going to miss 2.5 years of his childhood, which is insupportably sad, and he was going to miss you, which is also insupportably sad, and he'd done nothing wrong. I think also we weren't judgmental.
Not at all.
And I think actually that seemed to happen with most of your friends and family. You know, people may have thought, well, this was rather stupid what you did, but nobody was that judgmental. Seeing the harm to Kit now, which I think is showing a bit, when, you know, I do think, God, I wish you hadn't bloody done it.
Listening to the impact that my imprisonment had on my son wasn't easy to hear. Debbie has always been a massive supporter of me throughout this ordeal. But she still worries about the effect it all had on Kit.
You came to visit because I think Lottie was finding it quite tough. Once we got you on the list, you brought Kit. So what was that like?
Unfriendly, of course. Bureaucratic. You felt these rules were stupid. The fact that you're with other people, all mothers and children, who you know have had a huge journey to get there... Some people turned up in great big shiny 4x4s, very tarted up with a lot of cleavage showing. But most weren't. Most of them looked pretty desperate. The officers at Wandsworth, some of them were all right, but they were at best, you know, brusque and efficient, and at worst, treating you as if you were part of the sort of criminal fraternity. And also, some of them weren't particularly nice to Kit. You know, he was a small child, fairly traumatised. And there wasn't any acknowledgement of that with nearly all of them. They weren't hostile. They just had no imagination about how it must be to be visiting people in prison. It's also really nice to see the lit up face, in this case of you, when you come in with your darling's son. Yeah. It's worth it all then. I mean, I was nervous, now we're talking about it and I'm remembering, I was nervous that he wouldn't rush up to you and hug you.
I was nervous about that.
And I knew you were obviously nervous of that, but he always did, so that was great.
I'm always interested to think is like how he reacted to the sort of sinister, authoritarian nature of the place.
I don't think it upset him. He was too young. I think that older children suffer much more. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't suffer. And I think he's very needy now, and I don't think it's been great for him. But the older children, it's much worse.
I knew loads of other prisoners who were parents, and the separation from their kids was a major source of heartbreak. If the child was too old, then they could be traumatised by visiting the prison environment. But if the child was too young, then they might not form a parental bond at all.
And you said your missus was 8 months pregnant when you
She was, yeah.
This is Tony. We met him in a previous episode. He was in his early 20s when he got 10 years for drugs and guns offences.
So your little boy got born?
He was born whilst I was incarcerated, yeah.
What the fuck was that like?
Fucking shit. And that's not even the worst of it. The worst of it is, I was in jail for 6 years. 6 years. I've missed his first steps, his first words, his teeth, everything. Birthdays, Christmas, everything. I missed everything.
Did he come in to visit? Did she bring him?
He did, yeah, but it's not the same. If anything, it was fucking heartbreaking because I watched my little boy grow up and I was sitting at a table that I'm not allowed to get off the chair in a fucking bright yellow bib.
And that's all he's seen of you?
That's how he knew his dad. That's his first memories of his dad.
But you stayed in touch. I mean, lots of guys don't even stay in touch.
No, of course I stayed in touch. I have to. That's what, if you're a man, you know, that's what men do.
So how was it when you left? Did you see your boy? What was that like?
What, when I got out of jail?
Yeah.
Fucking heartbreaking, man. It was so weird. I felt so out of place. When I walked into his home, it's just, that's his home, you know what I'm saying? So I ain't got a home. Even this ain't my home. I haven't got a home.
And how did he react to you?
I felt very awkward because you must understand I've never been around children my whole life. And then I come out of jail, I've got a 6-year-old boy. Do you know what I mean? If I was there from birth, it would have been so different. There would have been the bonding time, changing nappies, feeding him, taking him to the park. I ain't done none of that, man. I've literally walked out of prison and I've got a 6-year-old boy. He's got a character, a personality. You know, he likes fucking Mario and I've missed everything. I might as well be a stranger, and it's fucking heartbreaking, man. Proper heartbreaking, man.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There are over 200,000 children in the UK who have parents in prison. these kids are twice as likely to suffer mental illness and three times more likely to be involved in crime. 65% of boys with a convicted father go on to offend themselves. I was pretty sure that Kit wasn't going to get in any trouble with the law, but I constantly worried about the impact that my absence had on his mental health.
It was lucky that we weren't together, and so Kit already had two separate houses. He wasn't being uprooted. He just wasn't at your house, but he still had mine, and his bedroom was all the same. It's very hard to know what he was thinking all this time. I mean, after a while, we decided we need to make it clear where he is. I just didn't want him to ever think that we were lying to him. And because everyone was talking about you the whole time, and, you know, we were going to, when he started visits as well...
It's obvious I was in a prison.
It was obvious you were in a prison. There were bars everywhere, and, you know...
There's no point trying to... Because some people do. I know lots of prisoners who told their kids, like, oh, daddy's away on business.
And, you know, I'm not judging them for that. It just seems that that moment when the children find out they've been lied to... That will come at some point, and it's just deferring the pain, I think.
And that could almost be worse than the going away itself.
I think so. Another thing which I don't think we've ever really talked about was when we were at the stage of telling Kit, you know, daddy did something wrong, he's now being punished for it, he's gone to prison, but he's not a bad person. There wasn't the added complication of, it's like, daddy did this thing, he didn't really do it, because then it must breed this anger against the system. Obviously, all these awful statistics about young boys getting into trouble with authority after dad's in prison. Feeling that they've been unjustly taken away from you. I mean, I can't think of a quicker way to breed anger against authority than that.
So you think it helped that we could say, honestly, like, daddy did do something wrong, and this is just what's happened, and here's how we're getting
through
it.
Oh, my God, definitely. And that's what we teach children, isn't it? We all make mistakes. You own up to it. You learn from it. You don't do it again.
You were always brilliant with me. You were always like, look, it's fine, we're going to get through it. There was never a word of anger ever about the whole thing. It must have been a point where you went, oh, fucking hell, Chris. What's he done to me in my life? What's he done to kids' life?
You definitely did something stupid, like, foolish and stupid. Not to, not like, but I know all the circumstances now. I know the kind of person you are. People make mistakes. I remember you saying that, you know, inside, like, you judge people not on what they did, but how they act. Sort of like that, wasn't it? Like, you made this really bad mistake, admitted it, you're paying for it. If you hadn't made all the effort, you'd stop phoning Kit because you felt it was pointless, or you felt that you weren't worthy of being a father, or whatever. You know, like, if you'd succumbed to self-pity, or if Kit hadn't been at the forefront of everything you did, then I might have felt angry, actually, but... He was. There were moments, you know, waiting in... There's a bus stop near Wandsworth Prison, which is bleak at the best of times, but on a Sunday, after just being to prison, it's like the loneliest, bleakest place in the world. Waiting there on a freezing November Sunday, I mean, I had moments of thinking, oh, God.
You're allowed to have them, by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't anger. It was more just like, oh, for fuck's sake. You couldn't really do much else that day.
I was trying to work out how many visits you must have come on, and I think it must have been 50 or 60. Yeah. I mean, everyone was amazed because they all assumed that we were still together because they said, you know, your baby mama is bringing in your boy again this week. Because there were people who were still together and the mums didn't bring in the kids as often as you did with Kit. It was quite extraordinary.
He looked forward to seeing you. He didn't talk about it at all. He wanted to take it at face value. I think he found the whole thing so confusing. The concept of you being in a prison. You know, we said, it's all going to be fine. Daddy still loves you. And he was like, and he just wanted to believe all that.
Yeah. It's the place where Daddy was.
It's just the place where Daddy was. And you do believe things. When you're a child, you believe what your parents tell you.
But then the negative stuff you said would happen not at the prison.
Yeah, it happened at home. It'd be just, you know, at night, he'd be missing you. But no, he never said, I don't want to go and see Daddy. No. He'd never freaked out when we were in there, did he?
Not when I was there. He'd always come and sit on my lap, hold my hand, and we'd read Mr. Men books. Yeah. That's what I remember doing.
These weekly visits were the lifeline that pulled me and Kit through my long sentence. As an aside, I want to tell you about a shocking letter I received while I was making this podcast. The pandemic ground the prison system to a halt, and all visits were cancelled. hundreds of thousands of kids were denied any physical contact with their parents. As the lockdown eased over the summer, visits were slowly reinstated, but with heavy restrictions. A fortnight ago, a mother got in touch saying she'd finally visited her partner with their young daughter. At the end of the visit, the toddler had spontaneously hugged the dad. The prison then wrote to the mother, banning her and her daughter indefinitely for breaking the no-contact rule. I felt that this barbaric overreaction was symbolic of the way the prison service views the children of prisoners. It often doesn't see these innocent kids as human beings. Why else would they give inmates such pitiful visiting rights and routinely subject children to horrible treatment when they arrive? I tweeted the letter and it went viral. It's now been seen nearly 2 million times. The public reaction has forced the prison to apologise, but it has still banned the family from visiting for 2 months. Back to Lottie, who brought Kit to Wandsworth every week for 9 months until I was finally moved to open prison.
Isn't that old prison saying about like an hour being like a year and then a year being like an hour or something? Yeah.
So it does go weirdly quick, I found.
Yeah, it was quick. And then Ford, open prison, which was so different.
They're really laid back there, weren't they?
Really laid back. Just so relaxed. The shock coming from Wandsworth where they just had zero trust. We end up, you know, bringing the kids' school report.
I remember that first visit. I don't think I held back the tears very well. It was just like, that bit's open now. I think Kit was thrilled that I was playing football and we could hug and run around and we were outside.
Open prison was like the Ritz compared to Wandsworth. The visits were 2 hours long and we could play with our children properly. It really helped rebuild my relationship with Kit. But visiting open prison also had an unexpected upside for Lottie. You see, she's also a novelist, and it enabled her to research her next book.
No, I was fascinated by it. And also it was useful because I had an idea about a story set with an open prisoner having a relationship. All these details which would be impossible to find out otherwise. But I found it very interesting that these men were suddenly, you know, they're in this position once they're inside that they're reliant on these women to bring in their children, and there's a big power shift. That was really fascinating.
That fed into the book writing
process.
After 2.5 tough years, Lottie and Kit drove to the prison gates to pick me up. Kit was wearing a fox onesie, and he ran up and hugged me so hard we nearly fell over. He moved back in with me for half the week, and we're now closer than ever.
Hello.
Hello. Daddy, look what I have.
£2? Is that for your teeth?
Yeah.
What were you going to get with those £2?
Maybe some sweets.
Because your teeth fell out. So don't you think that's a lesson there, not having more sweets?
That way I'll get more money.
It's worth noting that I come from a privileged background and had a wonderful support network, which enabled me and Kit to survive the ordeal. But most other prisoners aren't so lucky and often lose contact with their kids. This breakdown in family ties only fuels the shocking levels of mental illness inside, which I witnessed every day while working as a prison listener. So that's what we're going to look at in the next episode, where you'll hear from some other listeners about helping the helpless.
It was taxing, it was fascinating, it was amazing when somebody in a terrible state ended the conversation with a smile, but it was equally shattering when it didn't.
There's a few times I thought about taking my own life. That's how low I was. I'd rather have not existed than been in that situation.
This has been A Bit of a Stretch, the podcast. It was written and produced by me, Chris Atkins. It was also produced by Victoria Hollingsworth. The music is by Vincent Watts. The sound mix was by Stephen Goldsmith. Since this podcast was recorded, some of these contributors have gone back inside, some of them several times. So I've written another book to find out why so many ex-prisoners reoffend again and again. It follows a colourful cast of criminals who just can't go straight, some of whom you'll recognise from this podcast. The book is called Time After Time, and it's available now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.